Okay, so welcome and namaste to this first ever graduate program intensive. So I'm just a little excited. And thank you to Ian for that lovely Qigong session. I managed to say it right, Qigong. So we're off to a winner. So let's start this intensive, at least let's start my section of this intensive from the right place. Let's remember who we are coming into this. It never escapes my attention, my memory, just who I am talking to when I talk to you. I'm very aware that I'm talking to Krishna, that I'm sitting with Shiva, that we're not actually a group of students and teacher, and really that we're not even a group of friends or a family, which of course we also are, but that that's not all we are, that we are actually Christ in his latest manifestation, in his latest human appearance. So I am always aware of that, and I always remember that with respect when I'm speaking to you and spending time with you. And it'd be really nice if you could remember that for yourself, what you really are during this time, starting from the same place as me, so that you're not trying to use this time to kind of get something out of it, so that you're not trying to catch up to where I am or anything like that. Let's just see if we can drop that for this time. And all I'm doing is reminding you of who you already are. All I'm doing is reminding you of who you actually are and could never not be. And you manifested this body-mind vehicle to help you kind of come back in a certain clarity and faster, and to remember really the ultimate nature of what you are. We're also showing up as a family, as a group of friends like this, which is wonderful. And I really want to kind of emphasize that today, that there is no reason why any of us should feel less than we should be today here, anytime in life, of course, but right now, especially. The graduate program is, and I've said this before, but it's worthwhile saying again, it's not the advanced teachings. It is a way to focus on the basic teachings with a certain intensity and a continuous study. And that is all that is necessary for you to wake up fully, finally, because you're only remembering what you are. There is nothing to undo or fix about you. And I just want to start from there today. Let's remember who we are as best we can throughout this time. And we can get the most out of this time together and not really spend it trying to compare or trying to meet some imaginary picture of who we think we need to be based on some imaginary picture of who you think I am or who you think the self is or all of that. It's just another body mind here manifesting inside you, telling you what you already know but have forgotten temporarily, in thoughts at least. So, so the reason for this intensive, when I first got the kind of idea to do this, I really wanted to spend some time, and whether you're new to the graduate program or you've been in it since the start, it will be equally the same message today. Let's focus on what's the most important thing to remember about waking up. So the first, of course, of that, the first thing that's most important is to remember that you're already that, that nothing that anyone says or does, no practice is going to make you the self. It'll help you to remember what you already are. And the second thing to remember, which was most important for me, which all, the whole rest of today's schedule is going to be built around, is this fundamental understanding that got clearer for me as I began to wake up more and more, which is that I cannot actually solve any problem that I seem to have right now from the place that those problems were created. So I cannot seem to solve any problem that my mind thinks is true. With the mind. Again, no fault of the mind, just the fact that the way the mind sees it is flawed. The way the mind sees it is a distortion of reality already. We can't fix anything from that place, that level of consciousness where we experience the problem. And that the only reliable thing to do consistently is to come away from mind as quick as we can and find out if there's still an issue once we are free of mind, and find out if there's anything to resolve from there. So all of us have things that we think are going wrong with our life right now, and perhaps that we think is going wrong with our awakening right now. And the go-to default setting for all humanity is to try to think about that problem and solve it somehow. And this is the nature and the basis of why our mind continues to be so noisy, because it thinks it can solve problems that it thinks are there from the level of thought. It has no capacity, our mind, our egoic sense of self, I'm using those as synonyms for now, to understand that how it sees things isn't actually how they are. It has no capacity to understand or to recognize that the world of its perception of all these other beings and other objects do not actually exist in the way that it thinks they do. So it's trying to endlessly solve problems, challenges that don't actually exist on the level that it thinks they do. It's trying to solve its own challenges from a flawed perception, a distorted image of what reality actually is. First of all, it's divided you and everything else into two separate things. So how reliable can any problem that comes from the mind be from that place where even that fundamental assumption that we're working from is not true? Even the most spiritual problem of all, which is how to merge back into the self, how to realize what we actually are, how to deepen in that seeing, all involves two-ness. So where I think I am and where I think I need to be. And this is where I am, and I need to be more awakened. I need to be clearer. I need to have a deeper understanding of the self. I need to transcend my ego. All of that stuff is in duality. From the mind's perspective, it's very, very true. But of course, by the time you find yourself in this kind of group, family, you've realized that that's not an effective way to find peace, to try to solve anything from the level of thinking about it is only going to make it worse. Why? Because whatever I'm thinking about, I'm actually condensing my reality down from the very fast, high frequency to a very slow moving physical reality, thoughts and emotions in between that, as we slow down the manifestation, the vibration into more and more visible perceptive forms. So the world that we're experiencing is a product of our thoughts. And if our thoughts are flawed initially, just by the nature of the thought process, not we are flawed, but our thoughts. If we're thinking about beings that don't exist separately outside of us, if we're thinking about things that don't exist outside of us separately as if they do, then how effective is that going to be? So once I began to really grasp this and deeply understand this, I realized that the only thing to do, the emergency exit, so to speak, was to step away from mind in whichever way I could. Now, I'm not talking about rejecting it. I'm not talking about judging it. I'm not talking about resisting it either. I'm talking about lovingly understanding why mind can't solve any of its own created issues, especially this most prized issue of all, which is how do I step out of separateness and into the self? What if even that is a work of fiction? So if I lovingly understand the limitations of my mind, of my the way that I think as a separate being, that thought is only going to go round and round in circles. And about the most intelligent thought I can have is the understanding, the epiphany, the insight that I can't solve any of this from here. If our experience has taught us anything, it is that, isn't it? Over and over again, that the more I try to solve this problem even, the less effective it's going to be, especially the more I've seen clearly that I am not actually divided or divisible even, that I'm not actually a form, that there really isn't forms or phenomena, that they are all appearances, waves arising on the ocean surface of my being. So coming to reconcile that inside yourself as much as you can today, then we stop resisting mind. Only mind would resist itself. Only ego would push against itself. Only ego would try to change itself. The self would kind of lovingly pat it on the head and say, that's okay. You were never supposed to be able to resolve this anyway. You were never supposed to be able to fix this. You were there to help me with contrast, with a sense of change and time. This is to the mind, to the ego, a sense of becoming, a sense of evolving, so that I could begin to recognize that's not all I am. Contrast that against the background of unchanging, unmoving, not evolving consciousness already so. And that was the function and purpose of separation, the illusion of separation. Fortunately, once we get down into the thought field like that, we begin to try to solve those problems from a thought level, and it only seems to reinforce the illusion that we are a separate being that goes on and on and on. So how do we step away from the thought field, recognizing that any problem we have at all, even how to wake up to the self, even how to save the planet from total annihilation, is not going to be solved from that level, annihilation by global warming and stuff. I don't mean aliens are attacking or anything like that. I've been watching too much sci-fi recently. Is to step away from mind with this loving understanding of the fact that mind cannot see clearly. That's not the same as judging or blaming or pushing against. It's just, oh, that's not an effective tool. What other tool can I use? Simply residing as the self, abiding as the self, which is back to lesson one, tuning into the noumenon as much as we can outside of our meditation, formal meditation, with our eyes open, walking around, going back to the self through our self-inquiry, through our contemplation. Contemplation is an open doorway back into emptiness, as is self-inquiry, as is meditation. And seeing what happens when I refuse to play with this problem on a level of thoughts. Seeing what happens when I refuse to engage with mind in the way that it wants to think about something. Recognizing that if I think about the problem, it's going to seem more and more real. Why? Because I'm infinitely powerful. And whatever I'm thinking about, I'm actually literally sculpting. I'm sculpting my reality every moment. And I can either experience reality directly or my ideas about what reality is based on my thoughts. So even to think about the self, even to think about the noumenon, is going to emphasize the fact that there's me and it. I'm not going to be able to fully accept and live as that realization that I am that, until I abide as that as often as possible. And this isn't bypassing. This isn't spiritual bypassing. Well, I've got all these karmic patterns I need to resolve. I can't just step out of them. It's actually an understanding that they don't exist on a level of reality. I just keep recreating them by a habit of imagination to recreate someone with some more work to do before they are finally the self. So how do we step away from the thought field? Have you ever noticed how your mind is like magnetic? It seems to be stuck to you like Velcro or like flypaper, you know? And the reason that sometimes mind is really in our face, like really shouting in your face, is because we still think that it can help us in this area or in any area, actually. So when I began to realize this, I realized that I was fueling the thought stream with my interest in mind because I thought that was the best tool to think my way out of, that at some point I'd be able to think my way out of these issues. But my very act of thinking about them, I began to see, was recreating them over and over again. So it's a very simple thing I'm talking about here, but it took me a while to see that I was creating the illusion every single moment. Every time an issue was suggested to me, well, you don't have enough of this, or you have too much of that, or you need to experience more of that, and you want this experience to stop, you want this one to start. I'd like to be like this being, and I'd like to be less like this being, and all of that. The moment I begin to entertain that when it's suggested to me, I'm sinking further and further away from actually being able to resolve it, although of course I didn't realize that at the time. So meditation is the first and best way to move away from the thought field. So when I no longer have interest in trying to solve anything through the thought stream, the only other place I can turn to is my real self reality, which is lesson one in a nutshell, moving away from phenomena, in this case, thoughts and experiences, and back into the self as soon as I can. Recognizing that any issue that I have isn't going to be able to resolve from that place at all. And the only escape from suffering and continuously recreating this stuff over and over again is to rest as the self. So you can either do that very immediately, three ways. Contemplative question. Is it really true I'm not good enough? So what I'm really asking is this really true, this issue, actually at all? Self-inquiry, asking what am I, or what is reality, whatever question, can I find a separate self all this is based upon, straight back into the emptiness. And also through meditation as well. So just taking my attention off phenomena, stopping trying to fix anything that's happening in the phenomenal world, and recognizing that my attention upon that is fueling the illusion. And there will always seem to be a world to fix while I want to fix it, starting with my own personal world and then the world at large. And then moving back into through meditation, recognizing, listening to the silence, recognizing the formless nature, just being, or resting as the here-ness, the now-ness, noticing the field, the contextual field, whichever way. So in the graduate program also, we have two other ways to move away from the thought field. Sometimes we can't seem to, if our vibration around a particular subject is very low, if I have negative emotion around something, I'm going to find it very hard to just step away and focus on the noumenon. I'm going to really be invested in trying to sort this problem out, and that's okay. So we have the statement process and we have conscious imagining. So if I can't immediately step away from the mind around this, then I can begin to at least move away from those particular thoughts to higher frequency thoughts. I could begin to at least focus on what I do want with a conscious imagining than what I don't want. And as I move to higher and higher frequency thoughts that make me feel better and better and better, I'm going to find it easier and easier to slide back into the noumenon accidentally. So if I'm feeling really, really good, as we've experienced on the group sessions, the group statement process, automatically I'm going to fall back into the silence. I won't be able to help it. So the emergency exit then to everything that's wrong with everything is the noumenon, it's the self. It's while the great sages have said to abide as the self. That's what they mean. Go to that place where there aren't any problems because you can't fix them from where they were created. It is not actually bypassing It is, in fact, what reality actually is. In reality, there aren't any issues for you to solve. There isn't actually anything going on. There isn't actually anything that's happening. We all think there are a lot of beings on this planet, a lot of forms, sentient and insentient. And we think that there are issues going on in our own life and the life of others that we need to resolve or that we need to help resolve. What if our very powerful imagining that's true is what's sustaining it? And I don't mean taking personal blame for everything that's wrong with the planet. I tried that one and it didn't really work so well. And I eventually came to see that the self, my infinite self, is so powerful that anything I touch my attention upon, I will immediately create and sustain. Immediately. And I won't even notice I'm doing it because it will feel extraordinarily real. It will be experienced as if it's reality. So in a simpler way, it feels like I really feel unworthy when I'm first coming into this pathway because that has been my experience and it feels true because I'm believing in it with all my infinite power. So simple exit, emergency exit, so step away from mind in whichever way you can in that moment. So whichever of the core teachings that you can facilitate in that moment will take you back to the noumenon eventually. And as you practice them, they'll take you back quicker and quicker each time to an epiphany where there's a realization that there isn't anything that you need to resolve here, to the original purity, wholeness, innocence of your self, the inherent perfection of what you already are, what everything already is. And then as graduate program members, we can begin to notice, be more conscious of which is my exit doorway in this moment. So if I'm in a really negative emotion, if I'm really in a low place vibrationally, if I seem to have forgotten everything that I really need to remember in moments like this, can I do some statements? Can I do some statement process work? Can I get online, on the phone, message with my GP buddy? Or can I do some conscious imagining? Can I just tune back into the silence, the consciousness? Recognizing that the lower you start from, the longer you've been playing with mind, the worse you'll feel. That the statement process and the conscious imagining are probably going to be the best ways in initially. And then as you get higher and higher in frequency, you start to feel good. Then you start to feel really good as you keep building on this. You'll find that naturally you're tuning into the noumenon will happen anyway. So we're not bypassing our issues. You know, there might be things that we currently need more of or less of. I'd like to get rid of this thing, get more of that thing. I'd like these things to happen on the planet as a whole. I'd like these things to happen in my life and these things to stop happening. Just recognizing the most intelligent way to resolve those issues, and in fact, the only way to resolve those issues, is to spend time as and in the place where they don't exist. Because anything that you touch your attention upon, I've said this already in this talk, but I'm going to say it again, anything that you touch your attention upon is going to spiral out of control due to the infinite power. And we've all experienced that, right? We start to think about something and then we start to experience it more and more and more. And then it starts to happen more and more. So it seems to make sense to think about it more and how to solve it. And it spirals out of control. And before we know it, we've kind of stuck in this very low place where we don't feel we're going to be able to get out of. So a very simple, fundamental understanding teaching in this talk from which all of these next sessions will be aimed from. Where are you starting from? Are you starting as a student that's got to catch up to me? Or are you starting as another incarnation of me already? Just getting clearer, using this time here together just to get clearer. And then what's the fastest way out of suffering here? Recognizing that if you got into a lower place vibrationally, accidentally, there's no one and nothing to blame. It doesn't matter. It's just, what can I do to pull myself out of that? Recognizing the longer I stay in that low energy place, the more I'm going to try to fix things from there, the more real it'll seem, and the more effort I'll make, and I won't be able to fix it from there. So I'll reinforce my inherent unworthiness because I can't seem to fix a problem that doesn't actually exist. Isn't that what we've all been trying to do when we wake up anyway? I know I did. 25 years of trying to become the self. Well, 24 and a half years of trying to become the self. 6 months of recognizing constantly, continuously, as much as I could. I am already that. And those 6 months were spent in freedom, vigilance and freedom at the same time. 25 years of getting nowhere. Well, actually, that's not true. Of getting to some very dark places inside my own consciousness, as I'm sure we've all been to. But 6 months of steadfast, what's the fastest way out of this low energy field for me right now? Whatever that is whatever it is. And then from the highest place I have access to in any moment, it might not be right back to the silence. It might just be, I'm starting to feel relieved through my statements, or I'm starting to feel hopeful. Or I'm feeling a bit excited because I got together with someone, did some conscious imagining about what this will look like after. Then I'll stop playing with the issue at the level it's created, and it will begin to change and disappear. That's why our karmic patterns seem to resolve. They never actually resolve. You don't ever transcend them. They just stop being created, recreated over and over again. The self, yourself, you are so infinitely powerful that anything that you hold in front of you, like experience, is infinitely real forever. Illusion is as infinite as the self is. So the only way out of that then is to come back to the simplicity of what you can prove to be true. You cannot prove that you're a separate being. You cannot actually prove there are any karmic patterns to transcend. You cannot prove that there are any other beings. You can actually prove that all of that is untrue in your own experience. I don't find anything that is myself when I look. I don't find any edges to that formlessness when I look. More and more interested in what that really means. Less and less interested in trying to fix the problems of a separate being. Resetting to factory standards, returning to your original innocence, whatever you know, doing a upgrade back to the self, you know, reprogramming software and all of that. Just to come to a place where you can see clearly, whichever way you can, the fastest way. And helping each other, of course, when that is happening to someone else in the graduate program who's struggling in a very low place, remembering that they can't remember what they need to remember in that moment, just as, you know, I couldn't remember what I needed to remember in those moments. So what's the best thing I can do to help anyone is to remember what they already are. Remind them, help them out of it. You'll reinforce your own seeing as you do this. And, you know, whenever two, or is it three or more gather in my name, so to speak, something magic happens. Even two is atomically powerful. So recognizing the nature of the illusion, that it's addictive, that it's seductive, that we won't recognize we've got sucked back into it until later, until we start to feel less than wonderful. Until our body tells us, or until our bank account tells us, or our boss at work tells us, or whatever the situation is. Paying attention to our life in that way. Where am I dreaming? And where can I step out of that more? And what's the fastest way for me to do that? Which areas of my life do I fall asleep in? And, you know, what can I do about that? If I go to see this particular being and I end up in a very low energy place every time I see them, can I warn myself beforehand? Can I set some reminders? Can I set some clearer boundaries? What can I do to protect myself, recognizing that I am going to fall asleep at some point? I'm going to go back into separation in my thinking. I am going to play with the mind again. What can I do to limit the amount of time that's happening? What can I do to make sure that I don't have to climb right back up from this really low place? It's a long climb back up from there, isn't it? Much easier to not go so far down in the first place. So what can you do to remind yourself of what's already true? What practical steps can you take to get together with fellow graduate program members, leave reminders around your house if you can, you know, put whatever measures into place you can. It could be a simple note that says you can't solve this problem, or you can't solve it from where it seems real. Something like that was a lifesaver for me when I was kind of trying to come out of this, and the consistency, that first couple of months out of that six that I've talked about. I wasn't suffering, but I was also needing vigilance in that time. The moment you come back to the noumen on the self, you'll stop suffering. But you might have to exert some vigilance to remain in that place and not drop out of it for too long. You know, if you're flying on an airplane and you have to go through the cloud cover, quite often it's bumpy and there's a lot of turbulence, isn't there, in those times. And it can feel very unsettling. The moment you're above the clouds, you can see the sun, you can see it just, you know, over the planet. It's beautiful. You can see the clouds below you. You can see the planet, you know, panning out underneath you. It's totally different. So what can you do to get out of those clouds, get above those clouds immediately? And we have a beautiful system here set up now with the graduate program, that we have people that want the exact same thing, people that aren't going to judge us, blame us, people that have the same tools that you're learning to use to help reinforce this coming back to clarity, to remind you before you end up sort of stuck in these bumpy places. And those that reach out to others in the graduate program will be the ones that wake up fastest. I can guarantee that. Absolutely guarantee that, because nowhere else in your life, more than likely, except for satsangs and things like that, when you're listening or reading a spiritual book or something, anything on this level, you know, they're not going to tell you this in the bank. They're not going to tell you this at your job. They're not going to tell, well, unless you work somewhere really special, but they're not going to tell you this in everyday life. We have to figure out how to remember. What is the most important thing to you, for you to remember as you go about your day? And I'm not talking here about hard work. I'm not talking about that at all. I just like to respect myself more by remembering what's true, actually. And I'm also helping everyone else around me as I do this, because if I'm not playing with the mind so much, they're going to be in a better mood, in a better place also, because they are me. I'm going to be affecting them, gently influencing them to a higher energy field too. They won't be able to help it. And then we'll both spiral upwards together. The beautiful thing about the graduate program is you can do that consciously with other beings in the graduate program. How far can you spiral upwards? As you spiral upwards through conscious imagining, statement process, just sitting together and brainstorming, whatever it is that you do, just sitting in silence together, then you're going to really begin to experience an energy building between two. And if there's three of you or more, it'll get even more powerful. It happens every class like this. It's happening now. That we never go back down in the body and mind to where we started this class from. You don't have to wait for the classes for that to occur. You can do that with each other. you can get ahead of the game. What is it that pulls you down and what can you do about it? Are you just having to wait for illusion to pop itself up again and then to suffer and then go through the whole cycle where you recognize you've gone back into illusion again after a month or two or three and then coming back out of it again? Or can you be proactive about it? Look, this is where I get stuck. This is where I really start to believe certain thoughts. Can you help me do some conscious imagining? Can you help me statement when I'm in that place? Can you help me find the silence in between the thoughts? Can you help me find a field again? And if we all engage in this, you can do it by yourself if you don't have anyone else, but I would encourage you to reach out and make friendships that are going to, the friendships that you make, the connections that you make in the graduate program will go with you beyond this incarnation into the next one. And you're probably picking up in this lifetime from what you did in last lifetime. The people that you feel drawn to in the graduate program is for a reason, because this isn't new. This is just a continuation. So all of that being said, let's bring it back to its simplest and its most fundamental, the most important thing to remember in any moment is that you are already where you're trying to get to. And then remembering that truth in whichever way you can. If you take any epic story, any movie, any heroic struggle, any battle, anything, there is always one thing that the hero uses. One magic sword, you know, Excalibur or anything like that. One powerful potion, something that the hero uses to defeat evil. And here it is, right here is, what is the most important thing for you to remember right now? Not making hard work of it, just, it's just easier when I stay up here, isn't it? If you watch a bird take off, there is a tremendous amount of muscle power, energy, flapping of wings and running to take off, or an airplane take off the tarmac. A tremendous amount of fuel is used to, in that initial takeoff, to fight the forces of gravity and get off the ground. But once they're up there, it's just much more gentle every now and again, exerting a little vigilance to stay up there. So if you're in a dark place right now, or have been, as I'm sure there are many of you, that isn't to say that you're doing something wrong. It's just, we could promise ourselves right now as part of this group, this will be the last time that we sink down so low, because we will reach out, because we will help each other, because we will remember what we need to remember most. And that this will be the last time that we will blame ourselves for it when it happens. This will be the last time that we are anything less than loving with ourselves when it happens. That's the only way out of it. The moment you begin to forgive yourself, compassionately understanding the limits of mind, you begin to rise to a higher energy field in the mind and body anyway. That's 3/4 of the work done. If illusion wasn't so seductive and powerful and habitual, there wouldn't be any need for satsang, would there? I'd just kind of walk up to you and say, do you know you're not what you think you are? And I'd show you, and you find a formless, you go, oh, that's it then. And then we'd never see each other again because you'd be done. So it's seductive, it's powerful, and recognizing that without any blame, you can come out of it. So I've said an awful lot of words there. Really, all I want to say to finish this talk with is that you are already free, despite what seems to be. And what can you do to remember that? Thank you.